Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Well, This Isn't Normal with Sarah Benincasa. That's me, by the way. I am hanging out in my sunlit living room slash kitchen in Los Angeles, feeling pretty grateful for cold brew coffee and for this podcast. I'm also incredibly grateful for the folks out there working in healthcare these days. I had a really positive experience when I went last week to get tested for antibodies, not for the COVID-19 virus, but for antibodies. And that was part of a study that I did with the University of Southern California and the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And I was just thinking about how lucky I was to get chosen for it, in my opinion, and how grateful I was that the medical students there and the phlebotomists there were so cool. If you are somebody who has recovered from COVID-19, you can donate convalescent plasma through the American Red Cross. You can also, of course, donate blood, platelets, plasma, if you qualify. But I know that they are looking for people specifically right now to donate convalescent plasma because sometimes that's used as an experimental treatment in the beginning, I guess, stages when, you know, a disease has not, in fact, been cured yet or given a vaccine. And if you're hearing background noise, by the way, that's very much because I'm not recording in my bedroom, which is where I usually record these intros and outros. I am recording in my poorly insulated Los Angeles apartment. So yeah, you get some noise from outside. It's part of the exciting flavor of my non-soundproofed abode. Anyway, today I talk to Talia Billig, who performs under the name Tali. She is a musician. She was born to a Jewish family in Washington Heights, and she went to school at the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music in the West Village. She worked for Blue Note Records president Bruce Lundvall, and she lived almost 10 years in an apartment in the Lower East Side. And she's a really neat person. She's at Tali Music, T-A-A-L-I music.com, and very into community, very into organizing, very much, I think, in some ways, in the tradition of singer-songwriters who tell regular stories of regular people. Although I would not call her necessarily a regular person, but what is a regular person, really? She's a very creative human being and has lived in New York and LA and New York and relatively recently went through surgery to deal with some issues with her voice. And that's tough. Like, if you've ever had a friend or, you know, heard about singers like Adele, people who had vocal cord issues, that's really rough. So by relatively recently, I mean it was 2016. But still, like, if you think about it, in the course of a lifetime, gosh, 4 years since that kind of surgery on the part of your body that you use to tell stories is a pretty big freaking deal. Anyway, she's really interesting. She lives back in New York now. And I think you'll enjoy our conversation. And I think it'll provide some insight into the difficulty of being a touring musician these days. So here's my conversation with Tali. Well, hey, everybody. I'm really excited to be here with musician Tali. Hello, my dear. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. You know, it's a nice day here in New York. I can't go outside, but it looks really nice outside.
As a musician, I think this has to affect you in a very specific way, this whole coronavirus slowdown and shutdown, because I know from my other musician friends that a lot of your tour dates have gotten canceled. And more than that, even if you didn't say, even if you weren't going on a world tour or something, sessions have, like, if you're a session musician, right? Like, a lot of recording sessions mm-hmm. have gotten canceled. It just seems like it's gone bananas. Can you let us know a little bit about your experience with this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all of those things you described. So I'm a songwriter, which means that all of my writing sessions across the country have
been canceled. What does that entail? Like, when you and have then, a writing session with an artist, what would typically be happening in that? Do you fly in and sit with them for a few days?
Yeah. So I had sessions booked in Los Angeles for the next few months, quite a few. Some for artists where I'll come in for the artist and they'll be working on an album or an EP and we'll sit in a room, usually with a different producer every day, but sometimes they'll be writing, you know, they'll be doing the album with the same producer. I'll come in and write for them in that capacity. So obviously that's not a 6 feet apart kind mm-hmm. of thing. And then I also had sessions booked for myself because I'm writing my next album now the record label that we have, our studio is out in Los Angeles. So I had a bunch of time booked in with our co-founder, Brian Bender, in Atwater Village.
Oh, I didn't know. So Rainbow Blonde is out in Atwater Village?
Yeah, well, it's a bi-coastal label. So we run the label here in New York, and then the musical part of it, Bender runs in L.A.
Oh, that's so cool. Big ups to Atwater Village, home of some of my favorite recovery meetings, as well as some very good places to eat.
Oh, same. Yes.
It's good times.
I agree. And Proof yes. Bakery is in Atwater, which so I always good. Shout out their sandwiches, which make me want to move to Los Angeles. It's a perfect sandwich.
It's a perfect real sandwich. Good. And also, that's so cool that you're a bi-coastal label, but also, like, shitty because you have a business on two coasts. While that's a wonderful thing, also, like, undoubtedly, this is a disappointing and difficult time for the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for us, the label part is actually doing okay. The tough part, as you mentioned, is that myself and Jose, we're both co-founders, we were both heading out on tour, and all of those dates have been canceled. And that has been, to be honest, pretty devastating emotionally, financially, just for your whole plan, you know, because we had a period of time as the label where we had done this downtime and put a lot of time into releasing many albums. I mean, we've had a release every Friday for the last Jesus. 3 months. and literally 3 days ago was when we were supposed to be back out on the road, which is really what I love the most. And so it's funny that everybody keeps saying, oh, I'm so excited to be home. I finally have this time home. And I keep thinking, I had that time home. Like, I'm supposed to be back on the road now. You know, so that's been the toughest part. As a label, we're doing all right. You know, one, our Wi-Fi right. went down today, which has been a nightmare. but, you know, other than that, our intern is handling our internet stuff. But it's been really tough. It's just been really difficult and scary. But actually, through it all, the thing I'm most thankful for is to have the label, because that's at least something continuous that we can keep doing.
Well, yeah, this. Because what does your day look like now? I mean, I've been speaking often to people about how they keep their days together. And my hope is that this podcast will have a life beyond this pandemic, because it will provide yeah. ways for people who find themselves suddenly dealing with job loss, or simply people who mm-hmm. are dealing with anxiety or the full catastrophe of life, as Zorba the Greek put it. My hope is that this podcast will continue to be of service to people. So I'm wondering how you mm-hmm. organize your day. Like, on the right now, what does the ideal day look like for you, as in the sort of within your capacity to control, the least anxious and the most fulfilling day?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And interestingly and topically, I've actually been pretty sick. So, yeah. So the last 2 weeks of the quarantine we've been down for the count. But in the last 3 or 4 days, I've gotten back to creation, you know, because to be honest, this is kind of what my life looks like in general, is just at home, you know? So it's been good to get back to my routine. I missed it. So what we do, I do morning pages in the mornings.
The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron is a wonderful resource, everybody. Check her out, order her book, there's an audio book. I find that I love audiobooks. With something like this where I have to be assigned, where I have homework, it helps me to read it. But so however you receive information better, it's really wonderful. I really think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so as Sarah mentioned, she has like her first assignment she has you do. And I've done it a few times. But the first thing and the thing that stayed with me for years is she has you do morning pages, 3 pages a day. And actually, I had a vocal cord surgery about 4 years ago, and that's when morning pages really stuck with me because I couldn't. It was similar to right now, actually. I was sitting and I couldn't talk, and I had to stay in the house for weeks. And so morning pages became this essential space, the only place I could really communicate freely.
Did you have like nodes on your vocal cords, or?
I had a hemorrhaging polyp.
My God. Okay. Intense. Rugged. Intense.
Yes. Yeah. It was intense, and but it did prepare me for this, you know, because it was the same thing, you know, in New York City. You can't just, if you're not allowed to talk, you can't go outside, you know, in New York.
Yeah, you could be unsafe at any moment. Not because somebody might be attacking you even, but because like, gosh, so many things. You might be stepping into the road and a bike might be coming at you at the wrong time, or you might be riding your bicycle and have to warn, more likely, a pedestrian who steps out into the road at the wrong time. That's just one example. Like, there's a lot more.
Thousands, yeah. So that, you know, that I've already had some practice with it. And that is, you know, that's when I started doing morning pages. And I've done them consistently. I have just shelves and shelves of journals of each day, you know, and that helps me to kind of drain out the chaos. She describes it as a brain drain in the book. And that is fully what it does for me. Then these days with our record label, I usually do like an hour or two of emails, you know, just checking in. There's so much that goes into a record label. So it's endless as far as work goes. And then what I've been finding lately, and again, we're only talking 3 days because I've been a little sick, is I'm trying to dive into things that I in the past said there just wasn't enough time for. So I'm a producer as well of music. And I'm looking into, for example, there's a software called Vocoder where you can make your voice into a synthesizer. It becomes like a robotic thing. So if you know the song Hide and Seek with Imogen Heap, or just a lot of Taylor Swift used it a lot on her last album. In the past, I have had co-producers do that Vocoder for me. So I have learned in the last day, like really how to do Vocoder.
You're developing new skill sets, it sounds like.
I'm working on it. I'm trying.
That's really cool. Well, the more it seems to me that for any business owner, particularly a small business owner, the more that you learn about how to use different tools that will advance your business, the greater the potential for you to save money because you won't necessarily have to lean on someone else to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's exactly it, you know. And I've been, I produce music for myself because I'm a singer, but it's always sort of in a co-production stand. And there just never was enough time to set up a personal studio in our house. And so that's been what I've been doing, you know, just because it'll serve us forever. So that's been the silver lining out of starting to feel better, is realizing that we can finally really lock in a lot of things that I think Jose and I both have been wanting to do, you know, like setting up the apparatus for live shows and those kinds of things. I think that this moment in time is it happens to be an opportune moment in time for the kind of musicians that Jose and I are, which is musicians who just play, You know, like we're not very reliant on glamour or a show or, you know, a stage costume or those kinds of things. And so it's not so much that the rug's been pulled out under us, although I do really miss the audience. Yeah,
tell me about what that does for you. What's the experience for you psychologically and energetically and spiritually and physically of playing out, of being mm-hmm. in front of an audience? Like how do you experience that? I was speaking to a friend of mine who is in a band that's been around for a really long time, and he was talking about how being on stage changes his mood in a really positive way and gets him into a kind of meditative flow state. And I was wondering how it is for you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It's the same. You know, I think there's a lot of sort of, there's a lot of like outside stuff that you carry around day to day. You know, there's external things that are part of how you interact with people that you don't even realize, I don't even realize, until I walk on stage and all of that's gone. That's how stage feels for me. It's like this enormously and truly safe place for me. Like, I'm getting slightly emotional.
Wait, that's okay to cry on this podcast. I got choked up talking about Bill and Ted, not while I was interviewing my friend, actor Alex Winter, who is... Bill S. Preston, but I don't know if it was the intro. I must have been doing the intro. I don't remember. But I was talking about what George Carlin's performance meant to me and how great he was. And like, I got fully, like, you could hear it in my voice in the playback. And so it's totally fine to cry on this podcast. This is a crying, love some tears on the cast.
We're in a crying. It's a full crying cast.
You can cry. I'm gonna most definitely cry at some point. And crying also.
Awesome.
I've read a lot of people saying, "Have you cried yet?" You know, to each other. And I forget the first time I cried about it. I've cried a few times. Yesterday I had a big panic attack, so I definitely I know that I'm getting. I know that a panic attack is passing. When I start to cry, that's a very good moment because that means that my adrenaline surge is slowing and my heart rate is slowing, and that means that the release is happening. You know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. I only just cried yesterday. I finally, and I guess it's exactly what you said that the. I've just been on adrenaline. I've been so frightened for me and for Jose that we'd kind of get through this. You know, and I had pneumonia 3 times as a kid, so I'm not in good shape if this really does hit me. And so I think yesterday the adrenaline finally subsided and I wept, Sarah.
That's good. Wept.
And it has everything to do with what we were just talking about. I just kept saying to him, like, I miss our life, you know, like, I love our life, and I never once signed up to be somebody staying in the same city every day.
How long let alone have you been a house. Traveling troubadour for?
like 6 years now.
Fully. And
yeah.
Do you find yourself at all feeling like? I'm agoraphobic. I've never, knock on wood, experienced. I knock on wood so much on this podcast. This podcast, very it's knock very, on wood, yeah. very like throw salt cool, over cool. your left shoulder, very like if a bird shits on you, it's good luck. Like this is a superstition cast. While absolutely. Extremely let's committed to evidence-based real deal science and not snake oil and not bullshit, but I will knock on wood. I don't remember what I was going to say. I'm sure I had a point that I'm lost because I got so excited telling you about knocking on wood. So I am somebody with agoraphobia, which is fairly well managed. I would say actually spectacularly well managed, thanks to my privilege of having access to care over the years. But, you know, it still flares up here and there. And I've never experienced claustrophobia, but I'm wondering if you've experienced anything sort of in that strike zone because you know you've been sick. And so then you're already going, oh, my God, I'm extra. What if, what if I get coronavirus on top of this? I had pneumonia as a kid, and now I can't leave to do what I love. Do you feel like you're climbing the walls, or like they're closing in, or has it been more depression feeling, or?
I think I'm more in the depression land rather than the anxiety land. I find that I feel just sort of trapped and mired, and that is how I feel. So it's less that that's been, you know, like I said, I just when you know I worked a day job for years and years, and when I worked it. It actually feels kind of similar, just that feeling I'm not good at staying in the same place. And maybe this isn't an opportunity to work, but I'm also kind of cautioning myself against being like, the quarantine is the time to take on every difficult thing
too,
in my life.
It's too much. If you don't get shit done besides getting through day to day sometimes, that's okay. I understand the pressure, absolutely.
Exactly.
There's a part of me that's like, well, time to write that book proposal for my agent Scott that I kept promising, or ooh, my agents will be very pleased if I knock out that pilot sample. But it's like, yo, it's okay. They're all freaking out too, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. And so to that end, you know, I don't know that now is necessarily the time to address my inability to stay in one place, but it has been, you know, triggering and difficult. You know, my parents are wonderful, and they're very, like, they have a job and they go to the job. And so they keep saying, like, go for a walk, or, you know, what if you went for a walk, which are kind of the only things you can do in New York City right now. And I can't, because I can't leave my house right now. But even if I could, like, a walk wouldn't accomplish it. I feel safest and most creative just with wheels under me. Planes, trains, automobiles, you know, those kinds of things. And so maybe I'll find a way to emulate that.
It would be cool.
I'll get a tricycle.
I know this wouldn't be the same thing, but it would be cool if you could start by, like, doing, I don't know, like, my friend did, her name's Heather Fink, and she has an MFA in directing, and she was all set to direct her second feature, and then, of course, it's been delayed, but she did a few sessions of free film school, where it was basically, I guess, like a YouTube live stream where anybody could tune in, and she sent materials ahead of time, and then was able to give lectures. And not that you need to teach, although you could, but it might be cool if you were able to do a free concert just from your living room or what have you. And I find it comforting, for example, to see the different podcast reviews that come in from around the world. It makes me feel like I'm traveling. And, like, I think right now we'll probably have more, hopefully, by the time this goes up. But right now we have reviews from the US, Canada, UK, and I think one other country. And then I've gotten private messages from all those places, plus from people in Italy and Spain, which both made me cry. And so that makes me feel like, okay, so, you know, I can't go to my friend's wedding, which got canceled in Colorado. I can't go give a speech, and I lost that income that I was going to give in Colorado. I couldn't go home for a big party for my dad in New Jersey. Like, all these different things. I can't go see my cousin's graduation in Austin, Texas, which is the dopest. Like, stuff like that. But then when I see, that people are, absorbing or enjoying my art, quote unquote, or what have you, from other places, it kind of makes me feel like I'm traveling a little bit in a weird way. Yeah.
I love that. I've never thought of it.
It's really
that.
Cool. Also, because these are people who wouldn't have been able to come see me speak outside Boulder, Colorado, you know, or they wouldn't have been able to, come, you know, if I do a book tour, right, at, like, little bookshops in the U.S., well, probably nobody from Italy or Spain or the U.K. is going to fly in for that. So it's kind of a cool way to reach people that I wouldn't ordinarily, and I've found that to be very comforting.
I love that. Yeah, that's a beautiful way to think of it. I've experienced that as well. I was saying that, again, like, we're going to be able to do a live show soon, but, you know, we've been down for the count.
You have to protect your voice, too.
You know, yeah, but Andrew Bird's been doing, like, a live video every day, and I showed it to Jose because I'm a huge Andrew Bird fan, and there's stuff that he's doing that I've never seen him do in any show. And so it just feels like this unexpected boon that all of a sudden you kind of can sit with him and watch him perform songs that I really would have loved to have seen him do. So it's that has been really lovely, and I'm hoping that we're well enough soon enough to do that. I know I am. I'm participating Rockwood Music Hall in Manhattan, which is like the center of singer-songwriter New York. And they really kind of gave me my start.
It's so great. And it's such a lovely, intimate venue, too.
Yeah, it's a perfect place. And I have like the most love, I think, for anybody in the music business is for Rockwood Music Hall. Like, they booked me a gig when nobody would book me a gig, and just have always been kind of in my corner while I was developing, and I love them. And so they reached out because they're doing a festival in April called the Uncancelled Festival, I think it's called. And so I'll be doing a stage with them, an internet stage on April 4th. So I have one of those booked, and we'll see how it goes, you know. But I'm excited because I did solo shows at Rockwood for years. I haven't done one in a while, so Corona making things happen again.
Yeah, and don't feel pressure to come out of this with like the album of the year. but I bet you are. Once you're feeling up to it, I bet you're gonna do a bit of songwriting. I bet some weird creative shit is gonna come out of this. I always feel that nothing is lost. I remember I tried to write my first book when I was 21, and my first book came out when I was 31, but it for sure incorporated some of the elements of that first attempt, as well as subsequent attempts, because I forget who said this. I don't know if it was Sark or whom, but nothing is lost, and it's okay to have experienced beauty and imperfections, just like you can hear sirens outside and that fucking motorcycle and all this other shit. Like, you know, even with this podcast, sometimes I end up leaving in, I just leave shit in. You just leave the fucked up stuff in sometimes. I mean, thank God I've got some great editors helping, but sometimes I'm just like, fuck it. Leave the mistakes in. It's all right.
Totally. By the way, are you, one big thing in New York that we've been noticing is there are just sirens like every 5 minutes. How is it in
where
LA?
I am, I live right very close to a fire station, and I haven't noticed them being busier than usual. But I have to put that in context and say that we have a fire season here in Los Angeles. So I'm so used to them being so busy during fire season that by comparison, the rest of the year, including this pandemic, has been fine. I have heard, I would say, police sirens a little more often, but I live in kind of a sleepy corner of, if you can put it that way, a corner of LA that still feels very much like a small town. And so it's a bit quieter, a bit more chill in general. A lot of families. We do have a main drag where there's shopping and stuff, but so it's been a little quieter. But you know, you guys have been hit so much harder right now than we have. We're starting to get hit, but you guys have been hit just so much harder than we have. But we are we're all very cautious about it. We're very lucky because we have a governor and a mayor who've reacted. Kind of like I would say Governor Cuomo has, where they've really made the effort and tried to get in front of it as best they can.
Yeah, Garcetti,
Newsom, just handsome. John. These handsome. Listen, y'all, we got some handsome ones. Like, we got some good-looking ones. I mean, you might, regardless of what one thinks of their politics, I will just say that these are men with lustrous hair.
They do have great hair, Sarah.
Such a legacy of great hair. But that is ultimately what we have to offer here.
That's how we measure a mayor,
that's absolutely
right?
I mean, it. That's how you do it. You know, having, like, remembering 9/11 and that fucking piece of shit Giuliani, how we all deified him and thought he was so wonderful at the time. I'm very hesitant to sanctify them, but I will say, right now, I have to say, they really are doing a very good job and being vastly more cautious than the impeached president is doing, to say the fucking least.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. He wants my city. Yeah, he does. Dead,
and
man.
It's his dead. City born and raised. He was born in Queens, but he doesn't give a shit because he has no empathy, and we know this. Let's leave the kids on something very positive, which is your music. How can they access your music? Where can they find you? If they wish to support a singer-songwriter, an independent label with their dollars, how can they do that?
Yes. Yeah, so my artist name is Tali. It's T-A-A-L-I. I'm Tali Music on Instagram. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Tali Tweets, T-A-A-L-I. And my music is on all of the services. I just had a song come out 2 days ago. I have a cover of Jackson Browne's These Days that I'm pretty proud of. Weird time to release music. I released it the day he also has coronavirus and announced it the day we put out the song. It was just heavy, surreal time to put out music. And then, as far as we also have Rainbow Blonde Records has a store that is on our website. It's just the store tab of Rainbow Blonde Records. And we have vinyl bundles. I am not the only artist on Rainbow Blonde Records. Jose James and Ben Williams and a band called Bright and Guilty are also on Rainbow Blonde. And if I may say so myself, it is a pretty amazing roster. And so there are vinyl bundles and CD bundles and all sorts of things on our store.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I absolutely very, very much appreciate you. I think you rock literally and figuratively, if I may. And thanks so much for joining us. And that was my conversation with Tali. You can check her out at TALLIMusic.com. That's TALLIMusic.com. And her latest single is in the show notes. You can just hit the URL, as the kids say. As the kids say is such a tired button to a joke or a beat, I suppose. I will never stop using it and I feel fine about it. Anyway, you can support this podcast at patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. You will get the weekly newsletter Serotonin, packed with recommendations and tips and tricks related to self-care and other things. And you can also get some other stuff. I am doing another giveaway of my book, Agora Fabulous. The first three people to email sarah@sarahbenincasa.com with your address and your name will receive a signed copy of my book. I got two out. I have another couple to hand out. Now I've got three more that I'm giving away. I'm just giving them away. Why not? It's sarah@sarahbenincasa.com if you want a signed copy of my memoir, Agora Fabulous, Dispatches from My Bedroom. Another way to support the podcast, besides patreon.com/sarahbenincasa, is to go to matryoshka.com/code/SARA for 20% off plus free shipping on everything but masks. That's matryoshka.com/code/SARA. It's all made right in Los Angeles. It's a very small company that is actually getting to employ more people, mostly women, part-time as sewers or seamstresses or whatever the proper name is, but they use scrap fabrics and they also use remainder fabrics that otherwise would go to waste, and they make beautiful things, and you can get that custom ordered, or you can do size XS through 4X. So matryoshka.com/code/SARA. Gets you 20% off plus free shipping. Again, everything but masks, but the masks are only $10. I have a few. I bought them. I know I'm a brand affiliate, but I still paid for them and I like them very much. And they also donate a lot of masks, which is cool. They actually started selling masks to subsidize the donating because they donated to a VA hospital here in Los Angeles and to park rangers, and then also just to local small businesses that are struggling to stay in business. To healthcare workers in, I forget what neighborhood it is, kind of more in the south section of our gigantic city. But anyway, they're cool. Instagram.com/matryoshkastyle is where you can learn more about them. I am at Sarah J. Benincasa on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Well This Isn't Normal. Please follow us on Instagram. Please rate. Please review. Please say nice things. Please subscribe. It all helps. It all makes a difference. And please support the Actors Fund, actorsfund.org. Okay, I think that's enough URLs thrown at you for one episode. I will be back soon enough. This show. I need more cold brew. This show is Monday through Friday, every week for as long as we can do it. And I'm very grateful to you. Questions, comments, concerns, Sarah@sarahbenincasa.com. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.